Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 says, and these are very familiar passages of Scripture, but the older I get and the more theology I learn, the more I realize the importance of the book of Genesis as it relates to the foundation of society. It says, "And God created man in his own image." You've heard this 1,000 times. "In the image of God, he created them male and female," which means that everyone listening to me is a male spirit, and out of the male spirit came male and female, man and woman. "And he created them, and God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that involves on the earth.'" If you believe God's word, would you say amen? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, sir, mister, men, listen to me. I realize that as a male, we are suffering an identity crisis today. You can thank television and culture for that. But there's never been a day when a man needs to know his own identity more than today. See, the roles and the rules of society have changed right underneath our eyes and our time on this earth. It's never been more difficult to be a masculine man than today. There are questions that all men ask of themselves right now secretly, ladies. Number one, is a man still supposed to be the breadwinner and the protector of the home? Yeah, women don't bring home the bacon today, they bring home the whole pig. Somebody say amen. Questions like, is a man still the leader and the authority of his home? Questions like, should a man still show chivalry? Questions like, is a man still the defender of his family and property and country? Those questions that have been upon the earth for thousands of years. Historically, thousands of years of tradition are now set aside as trying to be a man. It used to be that men and women had specific roles and they did not overlap in our engagement of building strong families. Historical roles, biological roles, like the struggle for survival, interdependence that a man protected his family from the Indians or from whoever, that created an interdependence between a man and a woman to where there was an affirmation from a woman to a man. There was this gratefulness, and it was the love language of men. Respect. Isn't it interesting? Apostle Paul says, "Ladies, respect your husband, and men, love your wives as Christ loves the church." Those are two different love languages. What's interesting, in contemporary society, biology is no longer the great factor as to what it means to be a man. You're not a man because you can have sex. You're a man because you're responsible for the seed you sow. We're all no longer in a survival mode, so what can a man offer anyone today? Independence has changed the perimeters of appreciation in our culture for men. So what is it that a 21st man should do? What is the answer to the question, what does it mean to be a man? Number one, you got to define your worth, gentlemen, on God's purpose for your life, not culture. It's who God says you are. And so who does God say that you are? Number one, you were created with a purpose. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28 says, number one, to be his offspring. If there was ever a creature created to give God glory and to show the earth what God the Father is really like, it's the gentleman underneath the sound of my voice right now. Men were created to show forth the glory of God and be the offspring of God. Nothing is more detrimental to society than men who do not function as men. Nothing is more great and more of a benefit to society than when you get a Holy Ghost Spirit-filled father that knows what it is to be masculine, knows what it is to be responsible, and first and foremost knows what it is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. That's what it is to be a real man. You are to represent him as his offspring. See, God wanted a being to be the object of his love, and so he created the man first. To fellowship with him. John 4:24 said God is a spirit and you have to worship him in spirit and in truth. But God wants men to manifest his nature. Psalms 82 said, all of you children of the Most High. Proverbs 20 says, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. And one of the reasons so many in this generation, millennials and Generation Zs, are having trouble with understanding how a good God who's a father can allow evil and suffering in the world, or how they get confused when you say God is our father, it's because they've not had fathers. But I believe there's a revolution going on in the church. I believe there's a remnant left in the church where men are rising up and becoming the men of God God had always created them to be. Loving God is not a feminine attribute. Weeping before an altar is not a feminine attribute. It's a masculine attribute. You are not a man because you had sex. I saw two dogs have sex the other day and I didn't go, what a man, what a man, what a man. No, you are a man because you are responsible, and you are responsible for the seed you're sowing, and you are a man because you love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. You're a man because you love the Lord. You're a man because you teach your children to fear the Lord. You're a man because you are a spiritual being created in the image of God. You're to share in his rule. The Bible says in Genesis 1:26, let us make man, omega dia in the Latin, and let them rule. Men are supposed to rule, and a lot of women don't understand this. And what happens a lot of times in this culture is that a man will try to lead his home, and a woman will pull him back. Listen, ladies, he's going to make mistakes just like you made mistakes, okay? We all make mistakes. But you learn to let your husband lead your house spiritually, and you'll be amazed at the blooming on the rose. And I don't mean in bad doctrine. I don't mean caveman theology. Me, man, you follow me. No, none of that stupid stuff. But he's created to rule and have dominion. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 27 says, there was a process in the making of a man that was different in the making of a woman. God said, I created man, but I made the woman. That's what he says. But let me explain to you the Hebrew. Asha, when God says to a woman, I ashad the woman, it means I formed her out of something that already existed. But God says, bara, for the man, I created, I bara the man, which means I formed him out of nothing. So God created man according to Genesis, and he made them male and female. I never thought I'd live in a society where we would have to, as Christian people, tell our children God created male and God created female. Now, don't think I don't understand the biology of the fall of man and hermaphrodites. Don't think that I've never had to counsel somebody who's had a sex change. I, as a pastor with thousands of people and traveling around the world, have dealt with that more than I care to admit. But I'm here to tell you, regardless of the fall and the things that happened because of the nature of the fall of man, where sin entered into the world, according to Paul in Romans, and because sin entered in, death entered in, and so did destruction and grief and suffering. But we got a good God that's going to do something about suffering one day, don't we? We're the only philosophical worldview that answers how sin and suffering can exist in the presence of an almighty God. So what you need to understand is that God created a male and female, and that there is a difference between a man and there is a difference between a woman. And if I was the devil, you say, hey, it even worries me that you would even ask those kind of questions. If I were the devil, the first thing I would do is I would confuse every human being about whether they were a male or a female, and I'd have them the rest of their life. I'd keep them in bondage. I'd keep them away from their destiny. I'd keep them away from their purpose. I would absolutely destroy them and make them ineffective the rest of their life. And I know that's not culturally correct, but this is not a culturally correct church. This is going to be a biblically correct church. Can I get an amen? Doesn't mean we don't contextualize the gospel, but it means that the Bible is the Bible. The Bible says he created a male and female. So what you need to understand is that if you're a woman listening to me today, the male spirit resides in you. That's who's listening to me right now. He created the male spirit, and then out of the male spirit, he created male and female. So number one, men, listen up to me. The foundation of the human family is your responsibility. God gave it to you. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, it says, no one can lay another foundation, one than the other one is already laid, that Jesus Christ has already laid. He is the foundation of the church. Can I go to good? Father's Day, amen. But what you have to understand, if the Apostle Paul would then look at Jesus and say, you are the foundation, then it is logical and it is rational that a foundation can be something other than concrete brick and mortar, that a person can be a foundation. And so men have been given the responsibility of being the foundation of the family. And the stronger the foundation is, the stronger the world is going to be, the better the community is going to be, the better the city is going to be. And so what you understand is that society is only as strong as its men. You show me a society where men are godly and they're leading their families, I'll show you a strong society. I'll show you a society, and I can prove this for 3 hours. I can show you a society where drug addiction drops. I'll show you a society where suicide drops. I'll show you a society where venereal diseases drop. I'll show you a society where homes are happier. Did you see the news this week? It said that women who are married in a conservative environment that believes the Bible is the word of God are the happiest married women in the world. You want to know why? Let God be true and every man be a liar. The Bible gives us the instructions on how to build incredible families. Somebody say amen. And it tells us how to be an incredible man or how to be an incredible woman. And so a male is the foundation for the human family. Number two, men, your position is important. And the Bible says, and he put the man and he formed him and put him in the garden. Well, that's interesting. The word garden means fenced in. The word Eden is a Hebrew word for the word delicate. It's the word for delight and pleasure. And what he was saying, it's the word for incubators. If we could just begin to incubate men again, and I've never seen men so strong in this church spiritually. And men, if we can duplicate ourselves into the lives of our son, the devil don't stand a chance. Do you hear me? Our daughters will know what it is to be a woman of God and to be beautiful on the outside and beautiful on the inside. Our men will know what it is to be masculine and they'll be strong on the outside and tender on the inside and love the Lord God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. If we can just build men who fear God and understand their position, we can win the world. Listen, our church growth plan at Covenant Community Church is really simple. And I teach church growth on a doctoral level in an accredited school. But you hear me. We got one church growth plan, and that's to build incredible families. Yes. Listen, that's better preaching than your amen in this morning. So God created, it worked for 6 days, and then he put the man in the environment. So environments matter. You see, what God wanted is he put a man in a place where there was a continual presence of God, number one. Number two, he put a man in a place to where he could train, where he could subdue and fulfill the earth, Genesis 1:28. But Matthew 25, verse 14 says that whatsoever is given to you, whatever little thing is given to you, if you're faithful with it, God will give you much. And so ladies, make sure you encourage the man in your house, the boy in your house. If they accomplish something and they're doing good, encourage them to do better. Encourage them to do more and tell them they can do it, because it's created inside of a man to want to subdue the earth. It's created inside of a man to want to excel and want to do better and to be competitive. God put that there. Somebody say amen. So every man that I know, according to the Bible, has an assignment. And the first assignment of a man is to be the visionary and leader of your home. Genesis chapter 2, verse 5 through 16. And so Genesis 2 says, God spoke clearly to the man about the future. Now listen to me, fellas. Listen. And don't call me, well, just listen. God went to Adam, not Eve. And God says to Adam, now listen to me. I put you in the right environment so you can excel and subdue the earth. Create cultures, build bridges, come up with computers, build incredible families and civilizations. But what I need you to do is I need to instruct your family. And God, you can't find one place in 66 books where God ever said, or any other prophet or person in the Bible ever said, that God told Eve any of this. God says to the man, there's the tree of life, and there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat from the tree of life and you put me first, you will live a successful life of abundance and peace and happiness. And if you lead your family in the tree of life, you will find true fulfillment. But if you don't and you eat from that tree, the spirit of contempt will come upon you, and you will be suspicious of my grace, and you will literally walk around in shame. That's going to be the first fruit of the tree. So you don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You eat of the tree of life. And if you do, things will go well for you. Now, what happened? Eve ate, and I think it's a beet because those things are nasty. Some people believe it's something else. But Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. But look at what God does. Look at what God did. God walks right past Eve. And gentlemen, he goes right to Adam and says, "Where are you?" I got news for you. God isn't going to ask me on Judgment Day how many people I preached to on social media this week, which was thousands. God's not going to ask me how big the church was I pastored. God's not going to ask me how much money I make or how big your business was. God's not going to ask you whether you were revered in the community or not. God's going to ask you, men, the first question is, present your wife and your children to me, because anything I give a man, I expect a return on. So show me Lily Knight. Show me Ella Knight. Show me Aiden Knight. And you show me how you took my message of spiritual family foundation and authority and vision, and you put it into your children. The people I get back after your care should be better than the people I gave you. Now that's the truth. And so Genesis 2, you see where God spoke clearly to man about the future. The man's first entrusted with God's purpose of life. And so God says in verse 9, "Where are you?" First thing God's going to ask every man is, "What happened to your family?" Now those of you considering divorce, and you know who you are, if you have had adultery committed on you, if you are physically abused, and I know that's a stretch, but I believe that, or if you have been abandoned by your spouse, that's the only reason you have a divorce. Now, if you've been divorced, listen to me, folks. Stay with the one you came to the dance with. Divorce is not the unpardonable sin. Amen? But Christian people should make their marriage work. Amen? You're awful quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. I have a lot of good Presbyterian friends. One of my favorite preachers is a Presbyterian, Tim Keller. All right. So what you have to understand is God's going to ask, "Where are your family?" But number two, men, God wants us to be a teacher. Genesis 3 says, Satan went to Eve and Adam told God what he was supposed to do. So Adam was the teacher and the spiritual teacher of the home. Men are supposed to be cultivators. Genesis 2:15, God said, "I put you in the garden to work." 1:15, "I put you in the garden to work." See, it's a male responsibility to work. Cultivate means to make something grow or produce something greater. It means to make something fruitful. Now, all you ladies, listen to me. I can tell you the will of God for your life when it comes to marriage. You say, "Well, that's presumptuous." No, I can tell you. Let me put it in English. I'm not going to speak in Greek. I'm not going to speak in Hebrew. I'm not going to quote the Latin. What I want you to know is good old plain English. If he ain't got no job, he ain't got no business marrying you. Now, that's bad English, but if he ain't got a job, the Bible says that's his first job, to have a job, to be able to take care of his family. And so what God says is a man is a cultivator. He takes care of his family. So to cultivate means to make something fruitful. He's supposed to be a provider. Genesis 2:2-3 says, because God built the earth and then rested from all of his work. Now, that's the problem with men. Listen to me. Our problem is we like to work. But the problem is we like to work too much. God says, "I worked for 6 days and then on the seventh day I rested." And as men, we've got to continually guide our families to honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy, because the blessing is tied to the Sabbath and the Sabbath is tied to the blessing. So the problem we have to watch as men is working too much, cultivating too much, producing too much. So what God wants to do is he wants to use work to expose your potential as a man. Philippians 2:13, "It is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good pleasures." God tells man to provide. That word provide means to see ahead. That's why a lot of men make great visionary leadership. That's why they lead companies. I'm not saying women can't do that. Of course they can. But a man has this ability to look ahead and to see down the future. So when you're a man of God, you have the ability to see ahead. That's what the Bible says. To provide. It's the Latin word. And then also protector. Genesis 2:15. To take care of it. Make sure everything's okay. But Genesis 2:19, gentlemen, says something real interesting. It says that God went to Adam and said, "Name it all. Give the name to the tiger. Give the name to the baboon. Give the name to the hippopotamus. Give the name to the giraffe. Name it all." Now, don't get mad at me. But he also brought the lady to him and said, "You name her name also." Now, if you got a problem with that, in that theology, I suggest that you go to Luke and you look at who named Jesus Christ. Joseph didn't name Jesus Christ. Mary didn't name Jesus Christ. God the Father named him. Want to know why? It's not about owning something, but it's about possessing something, not as being possessive, but about being responsible. God set the society up to where a man names the things around him, like Miss Jenny Lee Knight, and then when he's named her by Knight, then he becomes responsible for her, and God will hold him accountable for what he names. God was responsible for naming Jesus. That's not caveman theology. That's responsibility. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise on Father's Day, if you don't mind. Jeremy, come on up. It's not about domination. It's about dominion. Fellas, God has created us to get dominion upon the earth. And the reason why we've lost the cultural wars is because we have a bunch of cultural Christians. People who said a crocodile prayer and think they're saved. You're not saved because you said a prayer. You're saved because you turned from your wicked ways. You repented and you began to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And your life was marked differently. Here's the point. You change when you get saved. And so God says that men and women, when their individual strengths come together, nobody can nurture like a woman. Nobody, and I'm a nurturer, but nobody can nurture like a woman. Nobody can build a home like a woman. Nobody. But nobody can protect a home like a man. Nobody can provide for a home in the ways spiritually that God has ordained his purpose to be. It's not a woman's responsibility to raise children spiritually. It is first and foremost the man's responsibility to lead your children in the ways of God. It is not Donnie's job. It is not Erica's job. It is not Jeremiah's job. It is not Mark Knight's job to raise your children spiritually. It is your job. And we'll know a revival not when people flop and flip on the floor, and there's nothing wrong with that. We'll know a revival not when people run around and the glory of God hits that place, and that's all great and good. I'm for it, as long as it's real. But we'll know we're in the midst of a revival when the hearts of the children turn back to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers turn back to the children, and we see a revival in the home. And that's our goal. Everybody shout it with me, even on a holiday. That's our goal. Men never quote scriptures to a woman unless you're acting like Jesus. However, ladies, God is not going to abandon it. Male leadership responsibility for the sake of soothing a culture that's gone straight to hell. It is time for men to learn their assignment, and you are. I'm proud of you. I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching with you. I've never seen you arise to your assignment like you're doing it. I'm trying to cheer you on, and I'm trying to tell a young man there's a difference between you and a girl. I'm trying to tell a lady, you don't have to take a backseat little girl because you're a woman. Proverbs 31 says you can be a leader too. But it's not about competition, it's about completing each other. Not about one walking around saying, me caveman, you follow man. No, it's not about any of that silly stuff. Listen, you're not a man until you get responsible, and you're not a man of God until you learn the word. And when you learn the word, you're ready for marriage. I really could use your help today. I'm really tired and they got hot dogs on their mind. I love you, but that's going to be my focus to the day I die in this church, raising incredible families. Raising men who know what it is to be a man. Raising women who know what it is to be a woman. Raising a kind, loving, gentle church that's not afraid of the culture. That'll speak the word of God no matter what this crazy world outside these walls are saying to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. My God, they're teaching our children nonsense right now. But let me tell you, if there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end leads to destruction. Every word of this book is the word of the living God. And God breathed it out by the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, and he spirated it into your spirit. So you got to know your assignment. You got to know your visionary leadership. God always provides for the vision he gives. He He listened to God's word and let him direct you. The Bible says in Luke 17, the kingdom of God is within you. Function as the priest of your home, mister, and let God create you and design you. Teach your children. When you, Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says, when you sit at home, when you go along the road, when you lie down at night, when you get up, when you tie their hands, tie the word of God on your hands. If you stay, I stayed at a Jewish hotel recently, and there's an asusa on the door. And I would really like to have an asusa on my door. I'm gonna buy me one and put it on my door. Because a Jewish person took this literally, and every time you would see a Jew walk through the doorway of a house, they'd kiss it and touch the asusa with their kiss. That's the law, Deuteronomy 6:6-9 in there. It says, when you deal with your children, teach the word of God to them, gentlemen. Now, you may be like Andrew and Andy and Mandy have certain times where they do devotions. I think that's wonderful. What works in my house is we teach in the moment. I teach them when they go to church with me in the morning. I'll ask them on Wednesday nights, hey, Aiden, what did Jeremiah teach you in the marshes? And he'll say, they said, we're supposed to be missionaries. I said, you know, I don't know much about missionaries. Teach me, what's a missionary? And I'll train my child coming back on Wednesday nights. I'll be picking them up from soccer, going to a soccer game or coming back for one. And I'll say, hey, Ella, what are you doing in your devotion? I'll buy them devotional books. Here's the point. It ain't the method that you use. But men, I encourage you. You're at this place. Take the spiritual head of your house. Begin to teach the word of God. I know it's frightening. I know it can be uncomfortable. But you remain uncomfortable till you get comfortable. Do you hear me? And you begin to lead your family spiritually. Do not let Hugh Hefner lead them. Don't let ABC lead them. Don't let the Democrats lead them. Don't let the Republicans lead them. Don't let the conservatives lead them. Don't let the liberals lead them. Let the word of God lead them and teach them what is right and wrong. But here's the thing I want to tell you. The number one goal of every man, as I close, Genesis 26:24, there it is for your children to say in 100 years these words, I serve the God of my father. I was preaching South Carolina camp meeting, the largest camp meeting in the Church of God this week. It's a morning Bible teacher. And the lady that I want to bring here, she's just a good old Pentecostal woman that loves God, got sense, not a legalist, loves the Spirit of God. She told this story. She's having trouble with her 18-year-old boy. And he was running from God, messing with people he shouldn't mess with, but was raised up in church, raised up to fear the Lord. And she was in her kitchen at 1 o'clock in the morning praying, begging God to keep her child away from sin. She's an evangelist. And she said her boy woke up at 1:30 in the morning and walked into the kitchen to get a glass of water and said the Spirit of God hit him and he fell on his face. How many of you know the Spirit of God can be tangible? There's been days in my, not a lot, not more than six, but there's, I can tell you at least two or three times where I was praying. One of them was right there behind that sound booth. And I walked in that lobby and I ran right into the presence of God. And how many of you know when you know the presence of God, you know it when you're in it? And God showed me this church in a way I'd never seen it before. It was just exploding with families. But she said her son fell on the floor and began to weep. Because he walked into the presence of God, Andre. And he started crying, this 18-year-old big old muscle boy. And she started praying for him. He said, Mama, I don't understand what I just saw. And so help me God, this is a true story. Because I don't understand what I just saw. She goes, honey, what did you see? He said, I saw an old man with a long white beard who was blind. Take a hold of a rope and go down the rope from the house to an old barn. I don't know what that means. And Sister Rhonda started having one of those, anybody knows what a Pentecostal fit is? She started having this Holy Ghost moment where God was touching her in a tangible way. And she said, he didn't know that my great-great-grandfather was a preacher and that he had a long white beard. And every day he'd go down in South Carolina to an old barn. He went down so many times, Summer had actually wore a pattern in the grass. Nikki, he went so many times that everybody knew what Papa was getting ready to do. And he'd get on his knees at that old tree, at that old barn. And he would kneel down at that tree and he would pray for his children and their children's children and as many as the Lord God shall call. And he said he prayed for them that they would always know the Lord. Said, what my boy didn't know is that he went blind before he died. And that they took a rope and stretched it from the house all the way down to where he prayed every day. And that every day this old man in South Carolina, would blind man, would walk down that row until he got to the house. And then he knew that the rope ended. He was at the barn and he would bow down and pray. And over 150 years later, the Holy Spirit reminded that boy of his heritage. If you're going to leave your children something, leave them something other than a Rolex watch. Leave them something other than a bank account with zeros in it. Leave them a love for God. Every lady, every man, leave a heritage for your children. If you're a lady, will you please stand and lift your hands? I bless you as the priest of this house with the blessings of Rachel, Rebecca, and Leah. Lord, let our women be strong. Let our women be leaders. Let our women be Proverbs 31 ladies. I bless you with the blessings of Ephraim and Rachel, Rebecca, and Leah. Every man, would you stand and lift your hands with these ladies? I bless you with the blessings of Ephraim and Manasseh. I bless you with the ability to build incredible families. Let everyone lift their hands. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord make his face shine upon you. And may he be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance on you. And may the Lord give you peace. And may the Lord fulfill the goal of your life. Is 100 years from now for your children, sir, to say, I serve the God of my fathers. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I love you. God bless you. I'll see you Wednesday.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.